Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle writing to the church at Ephesus. We come to the fifth chapter in verse number 8. We're looking at this mini study series on the mystery of God's way and God's work. Now, there are things in our life that we don't know. And when we talk about mystery, you know, we're not talking about some secret code or something that we found in the Bible. And the reality is that at the peak of Gnosticism, which is God as our knowledge, or my knowledge is my God, is the idea where we have arrived or we know something that no one else knows. And you'll hear people say, well, I know when the rapture is going to occur, or I know this, or I know that, and I have this deep spiritual level because I know something that no one else knows. Don't listen to that foolishness, because that's absolute foolishness. Their God is knowledge, and they think that by what they know, they have obtained a spiritual level that no one else can attain. And that's far from what the Bible teaches. Our spiritual pedigree comes from not what we know, but from who we know and our relationship with Christ. And so we're not going to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about, in our life, there are things that we just don't know. And tonight we're going to talk about our life and our death. And I know that that's not a very nice subject, but we're going to focus more on the life aspect. The death is just assumed that one day we will die. But we want to live right. We want to do right. And we don't have, I mean, even if we live 100, 120, 110, 105 years on this earth, it's still just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so our life is short, and the Bible teaches us it's a vapor. It's just a burst of steam that is there and then gone. And so what you make of your life is important, and the Bible teaches us this. And so we're going to look at this idea here in the scripture. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, look what the Bible says together. It says, for ye were in this, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I want us to notice that expression that we find here in our text, redeeming the time, buying back, using our time wisely, because the days are evil. Let's pray together if we could. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word, to look at its truths. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to be good stewards of our time. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn from it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Ephesians is broken down into two sections. The first section in the book of Ephesians focuses on doctrine. And so if you take some time and you read through the book of Ephesians, you'll notice that he's teaching in the first few chapters. And then he switches from doctrine to practical teaching. Do this because of what you've learned. Our doctrine impacts how we live our life. What we believe about the Bible, what we believe about God, impacts how we live our life, the decisions that we make. Our doctrine impacts our decisions. And it's not just enough to know the doctrine about Christ and what he's taught, but it's also important to live those teachings, right? And so that's why when the Bible teaches us in the book of James that, you know, you look at the Bible, it's a mirror, and you see yourself in the Bible, you see what needs to be changed. You don't just walk away when you see yourself in the mirror. You don't just walk away. You make those changes, and you continue in those changes. And so that's how the Bible impacts our life each and every day. And so the Bible teaches us that a Christian's life ought to be a life lived in obedience. We ought to be obedient to the truth of the Bible. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, we're confronted with this truth to be good stewards of the time that we have. And time is important. I think we would all agree that with that here tonight, that time is important. How important is time? Well, someone has put it this way: to realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a daily or a weekly newspaper. Of course, I don't think newspapers, do they still exist? I guess they do. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the couple who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who just missed his train. To realize the value of 1 second, then ask the person who just missed that accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won silver medal in the Olympics. Redeeming the time, the Bible says. Time is important, and God has commanded us to redeem time in our life. Now, verse number 16 here in our text, it's not a suggestion. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, that this is a command. It's a command. It's imperative. The Greek formation here, the word here, is in the imperative. It's a command. Redeem the time is what God is saying to us. The context of this passage of Scripture, and context is important, is in light of not walking in the darkness. And God is saying here, listen, you're Christians. You're in the light. You're not in the darkness, so walk circumspectly, not walking as a fool, but as a wise man. And this involves us redeeming our time. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5, this is a comparable text. And the Bible says in Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Those who are without are speaking of unsaved people, people who are walking in darkness, people who don't have the light, people who don't know the Lord. And the Bible says to walk in wisdom toward those who don't know the Lord, take time, again in the imperative, to redeem the time. Someone said the clock of life is wound just once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own, live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. And so we're talking about the mystery of when our clock will stop. And we don't know. We don't know. We don't know if we're going to make it home tonight. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm trying to be practical. We don't know. And this is why this is in the imperative. Redeem the time. Because you don't know how much time you have. Let me give you some practical thoughts here tonight. First of all, if you're taking notes, would you write down the source of time? The source of time. What is time? We talk about it. We often use that expression, time. What does time mean? Well, Webster's tell us that time is the measured or measurable period during which an action or a process or condition exists or continues. Time is a part of a measuring system used to sequence events, to compare the duration of events or the intervals between them, and to quantify rates of change, such as the motions of objects. Time is often set in categories, and it's defined as absolute time. Absolute time is time irrespective of local standards or epochs. Time is defined in terms of astronomical time or solar time, and it's reckoned by the counting of hours continuously up to 24 from one noon to the next. Some measure time by civil time. Time is reckoned for the purposes of common life. We do that in our society. We look at our watches and we can tell the time. We know what time it is. Time is divided into distinct periods. We think of years and months and days and hours and minutes and seconds and so on. And I cannot believe that we are in November already in 2022. That's a measurement of time. To some, time is measured in what we would call standard time, or the civil time that is established by government or by law, and the general usage over a specific region. We are in daylight savings time or Eastern Standard Time, and this is all brought into law. But time is a part of our life. But understand that God is not measured in time. And oftentimes we take our life and how we live our life and we apply it to God, and we think that God lives by that standard. But the reality is that God did not go to bed last night. God did not wake up this morning. God is not in time. And we are in time. You know, we say, well, how time flies, right? You know, wow, I can't believe how fast time goes. All of this is a part of our life. Time is a part of our life. But understand that these things are not time itself, but these are just measurements of time. Think about this. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he said these words. He said, "The shadow on a dial, the striking of the clock, the running of the sand, day and night, summer and winter months, years, centuries, these are but arbitrary and outward signs, the measure of time, not time itself. Time is the life of a soul." Time is the life of a soul. And the Bible teaches us that we are to redeem our time. Psalm 90 verse 4 says, "For 1,000 years in the sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." You know, the mystery of God's work and God's way is that we are to be stewards of the time that God has given us, because we don't know when our time will be up. I heard the story of a conversation between a gentleman and Death. His name was Jack, and Jack was talking to Death, and he said, "Not today, please. I have more to do." "Oh no," Death said, "you're the first to die on my list." "All right, I'll finish what I'm doing first, even better. I'll make you some coffee while you wait, and after I'm done, we can leave together." And so Jack put sleeping pills in the coffee, and when Death fell asleep, Jack erased his name and placed it at the end of the list. "Whoa, my friend," Death said, "I slept well." "You're a good person, Jack. You treated me well. Because of that, I'll just start with the last person on my list." Life isn't that way. You know, our time is in God's hands. You know, it's interesting when you look at a tombstone and you see the date of birth and their death date, that little dash represents their life. And a lot of things take place in that little dash. A lot of events take place. The most important event, if they're a Christian, is the day they trusted Christ as their Savior. A lot of decisions, a lot of directions, a lot of difficulties, all found in that dash, which represents their life, and that is time. What is the source of time? Well, think about this. A couple of thoughts. Time is a divine gift. It's a divine gift. Someone said, and remember, time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. It's a gift. Every day, every moment, every minute, every second that we are alive is a gift from Almighty God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 40. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 40. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40. The Bible says this. And thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. Look at this, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. You see, time is of God. And we know that we cannot create time. You know, we can exercise and we can take care of our bodies and we can eat healthy and we should do all of that. Everything in moderation. We should take care and be good stewards of what God has given us. But listen, at the end of the day, we're not going to live a moment longer than God wants us to live on this earth. The reality is that time is in God's hand. And the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is God's gift to us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There are no accidents with God. Our time is in the Lord's hands. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, every morning we wake up, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Time is a daily gift. But think about this. Time is a daily grant. With time comes responsibility. Time brings obligation. Time is not ours. We do not own time. Time is given to us by God, and we are stewards of that time. Someone put it this way, time is given for your good in God's glory. And redeeming the time, the thought redeem means to buy back, is the idea that time is a daily grant. God gives us time and we must spend it for his glory. Think about in Luke chapter 19, there's a parable of the nobleman, and he went into a far country and he distributed his goods to his servants. And what statement did he tell his servants? He told them one thing. What did he say? Occupy till I come. As a good steward, you need to make good use of your time. And the Bible teaches us that God has given us time and we are to be busy using it, and we are to work hard, we are to labor, we're to serve Him, we're to live a life that brings glory to God. Our talents, our abilities, our treasure, all of it, it all belongs to God at the end of the day, and that includes our time, and we are to be good stewards of the time that God has given to us. You know, we need to understand the source of time. It comes from the Lord. And it is a divine gift. It's a daily grant. But secondly, think about the stewardship of time. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says again, verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, when we talk about stewardship of our time or time management, you can call it time management. You can go into any bookstore today, whether it's Christian or secular, and you'll find row beyond row of time management books. And there's the biggest names in the world, the gurus of time management or stewardship. And I mean, they travel all over the world and they are showing and telling people how they make and how they manage their time and how you can also manage, you know, your time. And you can buy the planners and you can buy the books and you can buy the calendars and you can buy the software. And you could read all those books. And there's just a massive business today in time management and managing time. It's a big deal in our world today. It's a big deal for business people. It's a big deal for the corporate world. But how much more, really, should it be a big deal for Christians to be a good steward of our time and to manage the time that God has given to us? The Bible tells us here, it commands us to redeem our time, to buy back our time. Or we could say, practically speaking, the Bible is saying, make good use of your time. The time that you have. You don't know how much time you have. It is a mystery. Make good use of the time that you have. And we are not to walk in darkness, it says here in our text, because we're in the light. And we are to be aware. We are to walk circumspectly. Understand that life's a gift. And understand that life is a grant from God. And so we ought to walk not foolishly and waste our life away. But we are to take that time that God has allotted us. And we are to use it and redeem it for the glory of God. Make good choices in the time that we have been given. Manage our time. Imagine there's a bank account that you own that credits your account each morning with $86,000, $86,400. Every morning that you wake up, there's $86,400 in your bank account. Now, here's the deal. It carries over no balance from day to day. It allows you to keep no cash balance, and every evening it cancels whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during that day. What would you do? I know what you would do. You'd spend every dime. You'd spend it. And I'm here to tell you that that bank does exist. Everyone has such a bank, and its name is time. And every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night it writes off as loss whatever of this you have failed to invest for God's glory. You see, this bank carries no balance. It allows no overdraft. And every day it opens a new account for you. God's mercies are new every morning. And each night it burns the records of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. The Bible says to redeem those moments, those minutes, those seconds makes minutes, and minutes make hours, and hours make days, and days, weeks, and weeks, months, and months, years. And if you don't learn to redeem the moments of your life, all of a sudden you find yourself wasting days and then wasting weeks. And then you're like, what have I done? A year has passed. I've done nothing of any significance in my life. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. We are responsible for the time that we have. You know, the average kindergarten graduate has already spent nearly 6,000 hours watching television. The average kindergarten graduate has already spent 6,000 hours watching television. It's the same amount of time that's required to obtain a bachelor's degree. Incredible. I heard the story, I've used this in a sermon before, in the middle of a lecture, maybe you've heard it, in the middle of a lecture, a presenter pulled out a wide mouth jar and placed it on the table, and he filled it with fist-sized rocks. And after filling the jar to the top with rocks, he asked the class, he said, "Is this jar full?" And the people could see that no more rocks could fit into the jar. And so they replied, "Yes, it is." And he said, "Not so fast." He cautioned them. He said he got some gravel from under the table and he added it to the jar. And he filled the spaces between the large rocks. And then again, he asked them, he says, "Now is it full?" And this time the students replied, "Well, probably not." And the presenter then reached and grabbed a bucket of sand below the table and he dumped it into the jar and he filled the spaces between the rocks and the gravel. And once again, he said, "Is the jar full?" And this time they said, "Absolutely, it's full now." And he said, "It's not." He grabbed a pitcher of water and he poured it in that jar. And they were all amazed. And he said to that class, he said, "All right, class." Now, this class was filled with these overachievers, type A personalities. He said, "What can we learn from this?" And they all said, "Well, it's easy. No matter how full you think your life is, you can always get something in there." And he said, "No." He said, "The point is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, then you'll never get them in." You know, we take a lot of time in our life for the pebbles in the sand. But you're going to have to make decisions in your life to determine what are the big rocks. Because if you're not careful, the time just gets eaten away. And so the Bible teaches us to redeem our time. What are the big rocks in your life? Well, I know for me, God, number one, family, my faith, my church, friends and people that need the Lord, my service to the Lord. Redeeming the time is putting those big rocks in first. I'm talking about priorities, important things in your life. You know, you never really see someone on their deathbed calling someone over saying, "I wish I would have spent more time on the golf course. I wish I would have spent more time in the office." Because they're not big rocks. Redeeming the time, prayer. Redeeming the time, reading our Bible. Redeeming the time, our family. These are daily rocks that have to be added first. These are priorities in our life. Church attendance, being committed to the Lord, our service to Christ. We're talking about stewardship here, managing our life. These are important. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Big rock. A big rock. "And all of these things will be added unto you." Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3. And notice what the scripture says. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse number 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Do you notice the Bible says for length of days and long life? Doesn't that sound like it's a contradiction? Doesn't it sound like it's repeating the same thing twice, I guess I should say? For length of days and long life? But that's not what the Bible is saying. You see, the Bible is saying that as we put God first in our life, it's not about the quantity of life, but the quality of our life. Because there's someone who could follow God with their heart and make God their priority and do his will, and they could live for 20 years upon this earth and do far more for the glory of God in eternity than someone who lives for 100 years and has a long life, but not length of days. As we follow the Lord, God wants us to live for him. Elizabeth Elliot said this. Listen to the words of Elizabeth Elliot. She said, "There is always enough time to do the will of God. For that we can never say, I don't have time. There is always time," she said, "to do the will of God." And then thirdly, and I'll be done, I want us to think about squandering our time. Squandering our time. You know, we're living in a day of recycling. And I just found out that we got a notice here at the church. We're allowed to have 4 garbage bags. Now we're only allowed to have 3. And our home is only allowed to have 3. And they're trying to push for more recycling. And, you know, it just seems like you can recycle almost anything today. But there's one thing you'll never be able to recycle, and that is your time. You'll never be able to recycle your time. A Pennsylvania consulting firm released one of these studies estimating the amount of time the average person spends doing various jobs or tasks in their lifetime. And of course, these numbers are average and they are not encouraging. They said the time that someone stops at, will sit at a stoplight, they spend 6 months of their life sitting at a stoplight. They spend 8 months of their life opening junk mail. They said that an average person spends 1 year searching for misplaced items. Now, listen, some more, some less. Speaking of that, where's my keys? They said that the average person spends 2 years trying to return phone calls. 2 years of your life. They said that the average person spends 4 years doing housework. Some more, some less, right? They said that the average person spends 5 years of their life. 5 years. Standing in line. Just standing in line. 5 years of your life. Think about this one. The average person spends 6 years eating. Now some more, some less, right? 6 years of your life you were eating. Squandering our time. Now you need to eat. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that we need to not misuse our time. And I think that there are several ways that a Christian would misuse their time. I, I think of, first of all, the folly in a sinful life. What a wasted life to live for the pleasures of sin. And the Bible says it is but for a season. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And don't live your life for sinfulness, which leads to regret. Live a life for Christ. But not only do I think of the folly in a sinful life, I think of the fruitlessness of a selfish life. You know, someone has suggested that joy in the Christian life is Jesus, others, and you. You last. Christ first, always first, and live for others as Christ lived for others and invest in others, and putting yourself last as far as carnal and our own purposes and desires, but investing in the lives of others. Because the Bible teaches us that Christ gave himself for others. Someone said, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I may live for others and I might live like thee. And others was definitely the heart of the Lord. So life is a gift and life is a grant. And without Christ first, without Christ being number one in our life, that big rock, then we will be heading in the wrong direction. We need to make sure in our life that he is our priority. And I believe this, if God is our number one priority, then our priority should line up. We should find their proper place. But if we put ourselves there and we live for ourselves and what we want, then we are heading to disaster and we are bound to waste our life. At the end of the day, the mystery of God's work and way is we don't know when our clock will stand still. And so we must live for the Lord today and redeem the time. Because I think we can all agree tonight that the days are evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we are grateful for the opportunity.